Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. And when we are done today, may we each have been blessed, and may we take that blessing forth into this world that needs it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So once upon a time, there was a farm mouse who was looking through this little crack in the wall where he lived, and he was looking at a package that had come with the mailman. And he was kind of dreaming that it would have some dainty morsel in it with crumbs so that later on that night he could enjoy them. When to his horror, the farmer's wife pulled out a mouse trap. Terrified, he rushed out into the barnyard to consult with his farm friends. The first farm friend he encountered was Mrs. Chicken, who was busy scratching and plucking and pecking. And he said, "Mrs. Chicken, Mrs. Chicken, there's a mouse trap in the house, a mouse trap." And Mrs. Chicken looked up and said, "Well, that must be of grave concern to you, but it's of no consequence to me whatsoever. I'm far too busy. Can't you see? I'm trying to get ready to produce enough eggs for the egg salad for this weekend. Now leave me alone." Well, kind of discouraged and disappointed, the mouse turned to his friend, Mr. Pig, who was very happy that day, humming and singing, getting ready for his daily mud bath, thinking about what pleasures that afforded him. "Mr. Pig," he said, "there is a mouse trap in the house. A mouse trap, I tell you." "Hmm," said Mr. Pig. "Let me think about that. A mouse trap. Well, I can't think of anything right offhand that I can do for you, my friend, and I feel very sorry for you. I tell you what, while I'm in the mud bath, I'll try to think of something that I can do, and if I come up with anything, I'll let you know, but I really doubt I can do anything for you." So, feeling still kind of discouraged, the mouse turned to a third friend, Mrs. Cow. Mrs. Cow was sitting there chewing her cud. And she was thinking in her mind about how good she looked while she was chewing her cud, and about how much milk she had been producing. She was having grandiose ideas, and suddenly the mouse came up and said, "Mrs. Cow, Mrs. Cow, there is a mouse trap in the house, a mouse trap." "Hmm," said the cow, "a mouse trap, huh? Eek! I'm terrified, I'm scared. Wait a minute, I'm a cow. I don't care about that mouse trap. Duh." And she returned to chewing her cud. Well, feeling like he did not have a friend in the world and dejected, the mouse, with his head hanging down low, returned to the house to face the mouse trap alone. That very night, snap! The farmer's wife jumped up to see what she had caught, and without turning on the light, headed towards the mouse trap, only to be bitten by the snake, the poisonous snake that had had his tail caught in the trap. The farmer rushed his wife to the hospital. And there they did their best to remedy her and help her as much as they could. And then they sent her home to recuperate. But once she got home, she had a fever. And all farmers know the thing for a fever is chicken soup. So with his hatchet in his hand, he headed to the barnyard to obtain the main ingredient for his soup. Well, his wife's condition continued to deteriorate, and soon the neighbors and friends began to come over and help her by nursing her. And in order to feed them properly, he had to kill the pig. But she continued to progressively get worse and then died. And such a mob descended upon the house that he had to slaughter the cow to feed all the people. The end. Now, you might find that story amusing, but the question remains, Are we our brother's keepers? Our scripture today pointed out in Matthew 25 through 31 through 40 that God desires and yet commands us that we as Christians minister to the actual physical needs of others here on earth. In fact, that's how he separated the sheep from the goats. Furthermore, we are admonished to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And if you'll excuse me, I'm going to use my iPhone because my eyes are, these are my faraway glasses, and I can only see this because it can blow it up into large print. So turn with me, if you will, to Romans 12. Romans 12, if you'll turn with me there. We're just going to read Romans 12, 14 through 16 real quick, but we'll come back to that later. We are admonished here in Romans 12, verses 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Those are very good words to live by. And yet, none of us as Christians have actually lived up to God's glory. And as a church body, we have not done that. But we must strive continually as a church body to grow in grace. God tells us to live and love justice, to show mercy and walk humbly with Him. In Micah 6:8. So in Micah 6:8, and I'll read that for you in the New Living Translation. You don't have to turn there. Just keep your finger in Romans 12 or your book, Bible. In fact, it says here in Micah 6:8, what can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offerings should we give Him? Should we bow before the God with offerings of yearly calves? Should we offer Him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what He requires of you. To do what is right. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. In order for us to do this, in order for us to live this kind of life, we must seek God. As it says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously. So, if we as a church congregation will seek God with all of our hearts and love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind, as Gordon mentioned in his prayer, and that is found in Deuteronomy 6, and I'll read that to you. If we do that, then and only then are we able to love our neighbors as ourselves. Is that true? Because humankind, it is very difficult to love anyone but ourselves, as we learn from the farm animals. Deuteronomy 6 says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. How many times? Again and again. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Okay, so that's, let's see, when you're getting up, when you're going to bed, when you're on the road, when you're at home. I'm not sure if we are following the Lord's admonishing us to do that as well as we should. Basically, that covers pretty much most of the day. If we do this, if we seek the Lord with all our hearts, He will bless us and honor us. And then we'll be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I love these texts here. Matthew 22, the Lord speaking. 22:37. Again, you don't need to turn to it. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, basically what Deuteronomy said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But a second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, who is my neighbor? Who is our neighbor, guys? Everybody, because anybody who needs our help is our neighbor. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10? God pointed out very well that anyone who needs our help is our neighbor. Romans 12. Turn back to Romans 12 with me. Romans 12, I hope you kept your finger there. If you read Romans 12, it's quite astounding what it says here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. This is Romans 12, 1. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he can find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and perfect and pleasing. So, if we give our lives to God, he will change us. Then it goes on in verse 5. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, but we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for different things. So God has given some the ability to prophesy. It goes on, talks about that. And then it ends here. In 9, it doesn't end, but it goes on. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. These are difficult words for a Christian unless you are living the godly life. Amen? So, where am I getting at here? Why am I telling you all these things? I'm telling you this because I feel as a church here in the Murrieta Valley that we have fallen short of the God's glory in helping just each other so that then we can carry that to the world. And so to spearhead today some useful dialogue among us on how we can become like the Apple computer or the user-friendly version of a church is here, I've asked the elders to head out in some small group discussions for about 5 minutes. So elders, if you'll come up here, stand where you are, please, all elders. All the elders, please stand. Come on up. Well, you guys, actually, everybody choose a section and go out into it. So it's divide up. There's a section back there. I guess no elders sit in the back there, huh? All right. So you guys split up. These are the elders. I'm going to have you talk to them for about 5 minutes only. And this is what we need to discuss. Communicate with them. And if you're a visitor, feel free to communicate your experiences and share your experiences. And members, I want you to communicate with them what you feel can help our church be more attentive to our members. For example, there are many times when someone's sick in our congregation, and somebody might know about it, but nobody else in the congregation does. And there are many times when someone actually needs some physical food or clothes. And someone might know about a neighbor who does that, but nobody else knows about it. And many times we don't want to approach the pastor because we might overwhelm him. But I want real concrete ideas here, guys. Talk to the elders about how we as a small church can communicate efficiently and really minister to each other's needs, okay? So visitors, share your experiences. Members, commit to serving God and blessing others. Go ahead and let's take about 5 minutes now to talk about this, okay? All right, 5 minutes, and elders, spread out. We need somebody over here in this section here. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in that. Now that you know who the elders are, instead of thinking that you just have to go to the pastor alone, if you have a problem or something you would like brought to the pastor, please bring it to the elders, because that is one of their jobs, is to bring it to the pastor and to bring it to the church body. So let us share together, let us live together, let us love together, and let us be a blessing to one another. Because if we do, we will truly be a light here in the valley. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand for closing prayer. And as we stand, let's remember that when there's a mouse trap in the house, no one in the farmyard is safe. Heavenly Father, each one of us is a powerful influence. Many times we think that we are all alone in this world and that what we do does not affect others at all. And we feel like our influence is very small. But unbeknownst to us, if we just do one small kind act to others, and in turn, the person who was blessed by that act turns and does something kind and small in a small way for another person, and that person does something small but kind for another, it multiplies tremendously. Help us to remember that our everyday actions carry tremendous long-term consequences. May we commit our lives to you as a living sacrifice. May we allow you to change us day by day. And may our actions become what you would have them to be to our family, to our friends, to our acquaintances, and especially to this church body. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.